A white Jewish woman who grew up in the segregated American South now lives in Berlin, the former capital of Nazi Germany. This unlikely journey positions her at the intersection of two nations wrestling with unspeakable crimes, Germany's Holocaust and America's slavery. What can a country that systematically murdered 6 million Jews teach a nation built on centuries of enslaved labor? The answer isn't simple, but it's urgent. As Confederate monuments fall and debates over reparations intensify, we're forced to ask, can a nation truly transform itself by confronting its darkest chapters, or are some wounds too deep to heal? Both Germany and America initially responded to their atrocities with elaborate denial. Post-war Germans focused on their own suffering, bombed cities, lost territories, winters surviving on dandelion greens. Young Germans abroad pretended to be Danish or Dutch. White Southerners constructed the Lost Cause mythology, reimagining the Confederacy as fighting for states' rights rather than slavery. They erected Confederate monuments not immediately after the Civil War, but decades later, particularly during the Civil Rights era, as deliberate assertions of white supremacy. The German term for Gegenheitsaufarbeitung, working off the past, describes the painstaking process of confronting historical crimes. For Germans, this meant acknowledging that the Holocaust required widespread participation or silent acquiescence. For Americans, it means recognizing that slavery and segregation were foundational to the nation's wealth, not mere Southern problems. Germany's example shows that persistent effort across generations can fundamentally reshape national consciousness. Germany's split created divergent approaches. East Germany built its identity on anti-fascism, convicting 6 times as many Nazis per capita as West Germany, where denazification ended when the Cold War began. By 1966, 66% of West Germany's justice ministry officials were former Nazis. Yet West Germany made different progress. The 68 generation watched the Eichmann and Auschwitz trials on television, confronting their parents' silence. Unable to identify with their parents, many awkwardly identified with victims, a problematic but genuine attempt at moral reckoning. After reunification, Germany placed Holocaust remembrance at its core. The Holocaust Memorial stands near Brandenburg Gate. Nearly 70,000 stumbling stones, brass plaques marking victims' homes, form the world's largest decentralized monument. At Grunewald Station, one track remains permanently closed, memorializing 50,000 deported Berlin Jews. Micha Ullmann's book-burning memorial features empty white bookshelves visible through glass where Nazi students burned books in 1933. A plaque quotes Heinrich Heine, "That was just a prologue. Whoever burns books will eventually burn people." Germany places monuments of shame at the center of national identity, unflinchingly memorializing failures rather than hiding them. The American South offers stark contrasts. Mississippi, once America's 5th richest state from cotton wealth, lost 50,000 of 78,000 Confederate soldiers and never recovered. Without Reconstruction aid, it became the first state to implement black codes revoking freedmen's rights. The Whitney Plantation stands as America's Auschwitz. Visitors receive tags with enslaved people's names, focusing on the enslaved rather than enslavers. Owner John Cummings, a white retired lawyer who spent $8 million creating this museum, insists, "This is not black history, it's our history." In Holly Springs, the Behind the Big House project restores slave dwellings alongside grand mansions, partnering with Joseph McGill's Slave Dwelling Project, sleeping in every extant slave dwelling as a radical act of historical witness. In 1955, 14-year-old Emmett Till from Chicago visited Mississippi relatives. His interaction with a white woman led to his brutal murder. Mamie Till Mobley transformed personal tragedy into national catalyst by holding an open casket funeral. Tens of thousands viewed her son's mutilated body while millions saw photographs. This strategic act turned private grief into collective outrage. Despite brave testimony from Till's great uncle Mose Wright, who risked his life identifying the killers, an all-white jury acquitted them in 67 minutes. Rosa Parks cited Till when explaining her bus seat refusal months later. Today, the Emmett Till Interpretive Center operates in the same town where his murderers were acquitted, working to incubate new stories of reconciliation. Wheeler Parker, Till's cousin who witnessed his abduction, brings moral clarity through lived experience. Having served in Germany during the 1960s, Parker draws parallels between historical fascism and contemporary politics. Despite witnessing America's worst racial violence, Parker maintains remarkable grace, celebrating Obama's presidency as something he never thought I'd see in my lifetime, embodying spiritual resilience in the face of incomprehensible hatred. Philosopher William James understood that monuments embody values we choose to honor, not merely historical markers. The 2017 Charlottesville demonstrations revealed that most Confederate statues were erected 50 years after the Civil War to create the Lost Cause myth, with a second wave during 1960s desegregation. Not innocent markers, but assertions of white supremacy when it felt threatened. Germany has no statues of Nazis and has spent over $1 billion building Holocaust memorials since 1945. Brian Stevenson, inspired by this memorial culture, created the National Lynching Memorial in Montgomery. His Equal Justice Initiative documented over 4,000 lynchings across 816 counties, collecting soil from lynching sites in glass jars labeled with victims' names. The memorial features over 800 rusting metal columns representing counties where lynchings occurred, with duplicate columns available for communities willing to claim their history, a powerful invitation to face the past honestly. Confederate defeat created a theological problem resolved by replacing political nationhood with cultural identity rooted in evangelical Protestantism. The South reimagined itself as an innocent victim, crucified by superior forces, but destined to rise again, a powerful narrative for a devastated region. No material payment can truly compensate for slavery or concentration camps. Jean Amery, an Auschwitz survivor, argued only turning back time could provide true healing. Yet half a century after he predicted Germans would never confront their Nazi past, Germany achieved what he called an extravagant moral daydream, a revolution of national consciousness. West Germany paid 80 billion marks to Holocaust victims. The U.S. Congress only apologized for slavery in 2008, with no meaningful rectification. Those opposing American reparations argue it's impossible to assess claims generations removed. But two facts remain. America's wealth is intrinsically bound with slavery profits, and chattel slavery was replaced by other forms of legal subjugation. Enslaved people constituted 20% of America's wealth. Cotton production relied on systematic torture. Policies like redlining systematically excluded Black Americans from wealth building. Government mortgage support that helped millions of white Americans enter the middle class explicitly excluded Black neighborhoods, explaining why white households are worth roughly 20 times as much as Black ones today. The question isn't whether the debt exists, but whether we have the moral courage to acknowledge it. We face a choice between tribal identity and universal humanity. Though universalism seems suspect today, co-opted by neoliberal globalism, reducing fulfillment to consumption, figures like Cornel West show how to balance particular identities with universal humanity, increasingly necessary on our warming planet. Genetics reveals ethnic purity as mythical. Most of us are more biologically cosmopolitan than we realize. Memory isn't magic. Genocides continued after Auschwitz. Memory can be partial, subjective, and political, stoking grievance as easily as healing. Yet we can recognize dangerous lies, Germans remembering only their suffering, or Southerners clinging to the Lost Cause myth. Germany's confrontation with its crimes has made it more open and globally trusted, a remarkable transformation. America stands at a crossroads. Continue evading its past or confront it honestly. As Toni Morrison urged, our human project must be to remain human and to block the dehumanization and estrangement of others. The path forward requires acknowledging historical injustices while maintaining hope in our capacity for moral growth. We are not doomed by this history. We are not controlled by this history. But we cannot deny this history.